Our scripture reading this morning, today, are from Exodus chapter 12, verses 31 through 36, and later on chapter 32, 1 to 4. From chapter 12, 31 to 36, "Then he summoned Moses and Aaron in the night and said, 'Rise up, go away from my people, both you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you said. Take your flocks and your herds, as you said, and be gone, and bring a blessing on me too.' The Egyptians urged the people to hasten their departure from the land, for they said, 'We shall all be dead.' So the people took their dough before it was leavened, with their kneading bowls wrapped up in their cloaks on their shoulders. The Israelites had done as Moses told them. They had asked the Egyptians for jewelry of silver and gold, and for clothing, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked, and so they plundered the Egyptians." And from Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 to 4. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come make gods for us, who shall go before us? As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it in a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So have you ever found yourself at Six Flags, standing in line, watching one of the many tall roller coasters suddenly slowly climb up the big hill before going over into the abyss? The line that you're waiting in seems to creep slowly as the steamy, tired July afternoon passes on. First, I find there's a little bit of boredom as the time passes slowly. As I get closer, the thoughts begin to race in my mind. It seems that the hill that I saw from a distance is a little bit taller than I anticipated. It's taken about a day to get through the line. It's just long enough for me to realize that I want to be anywhere but in this line for the roller coaster. However, I can't back out. After all, everybody behind me would think that I'm somewhat of a weenie if I did. I think I might rather want to face an executioner than ride the Texas Giant as they fasten the safety bar over me and the 13-year-old that's behind me who's screaming bloody murder already before the ride has even left the station. Everyone is all buckled in and the ascent begins. This is when time seems to stop. It creeps and we go higher and higher. I see the rest of the amusement park as it gets smaller and smaller, creeping higher and higher into the cloud bank. That's, I think, where I'm going to be. When will the summit be there where I can just crash down to earth and die and be done with this? The car goes in the very front over the top. It disappears. And then the next one and the next one. And then there's only two more before the car that I'm in is there. And the next one disappears in front of me over the great expanse. When is this going to end? Could it go any slower as I dangle at the top? I feigned waiting for something to be a little bit like a roller coaster ride in life. What's it like for you to have to wait for something? The story of the golden calf, or sometimes it's referred to as the breaking of the law, it calls to my soul to ask some serious questions of myself once again in this new year. Do I put a priority to worship God? Or do I take the good things of this life that all come from God, that I've waited so long for, and make them into an object of my affection instead of putting God first in my life? With that in mind, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this time and in this space be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Like your people of old, we often desire to fashion you, O Lord, in our image or in ways that we can control. So let us hear your word for us today and seek your will in all things. And all God's children said, amen. Waiting is hard. I find that when I'm waiting and feeling idle with nothing in particular to do, I have a tendency to lean towards the idols in my life. When I drift into idleness, I tend to grasp for things that cause me to feel safe in the wilderness of life. We fall back on things that we know, things that provide comfort, things that keep us from turning to God. Tension, anxiety, they can either push us to new heights or pull us to old gods that really don't satisfy in this life. It's hard to know what to do, where to turn, when things are just not working out as we planned, when hopes are slow to develop, when we're in the midst of the wilderness. It's hard sometimes painful. This is what I imagine that the Israelites were experiencing in their waiting. This plot, it's well known in the Bible. Moses, he's on that mountain, Mount Sinai. He's with God, and he's there for 40 days. The people, they turn to his brother Aaron, and they demand that he make them gods. We find earlier in Scripture in Exodus that the jewels that they had, the gold, the silver that was used for that calf, God had provided, because the people were faithful to follow God's commands. Yet, we are people, and we forget. In waiting, we lose sight of God and all that God has done sometimes. From the people's point of view, Moses had deserted them. And though he had made Aaron a temporary leader in his absence, his abandonment of them caused the people in their idleness to begin to demand action. Aaron had been chosen as an agent of Moses, and as such, we expect him to reject this ridiculous demand. Who do you think you are? Aaron might have asked the people. Did you hear that Moses is even now conversing with the God of the universe, the God of creation, the God that brought you out of slavery, and that Moses is going to come back with news from this God of grace that will make your lives richer and fuller? Your request for other gods, it's offensive to me, to Moses, to God, or something like that, right? But such expectations are dashed when we hear Aaron demand gold from the people rather than putting them in their places. Golden jewels that God provided. In their waiting, they turn away. Aaron proceeds to execute an incredible plan. He took the rings from their hands and he fashioned them with an engraving tool and made them a molten calf. In every sense, Aaron's work, it's artistic, it's lengthy. The verb fashion is the same verb that we find in Genesis that's in this scripture passage, when God fashions you and me, making each one of us in God's image and breathing God's breath of life into us. The people in their impatience, they built an altar so that they could bow down to their God of gold. They created a religion of their own making. The people worshiped the golden god. They sacrificed to the golden god, and they proclaimed a national celebration. We, in our waiting and our impatience, we forget that everything that we have and everything that we are belongs to God. We often want to take control of our own fate away from God and solely rely on ourselves. We want to hold on to everything instead of opening our hearts and our hands to God and say, here we are. Use all of me, God. Idols are anything that take God's place in giving us fulfillment, satisfaction, security, or significance. Idols, they lure us with powerful illusions and misplaced hopes. They make seductive promises. These false gods, they come in all shapes and all sizes. We can idolize almost anything in our life, from career, from race, gender, wealth, age, you name it, even nation. You might ponder, our careers can be idols? Work is a good thing after all. Having a purpose in life is essential. But a career can drive our whole decision-making to the point of completely ignoring God's ways and God's desires for us. Our time can sometimes be consumed with climbing the career ladder at the expense of our relationships. Most importantly, our relationship with God. We can idolize material possessions. Material possessions, today's consumerist global market, the advertising industry, it drives us to believe that we need certain objects, possessions, substances to make us feel happy and content. I confess, I needed an Instapot for Christmas because I wanted that easy, quick meal to come out every day. Perfect. With internet shopping, there's no end to the things that we can buy. It can be an idol. Acquiring things doesn't fill our lives with the joy that God gives. Sometimes we don't even realize that our consumerism has become an idol in our life. Dave Ramsey, who's a financial guru, he's developed this seminar, this class, Financial Peace University. And we offer it here. It's facilitated by Robert and Sarah Gamble. And the class will be starting on Monday, January 20th, in the library at 7 o'clock. The program, it walks participants through 9 weeks. It covers savings, budgeting, debt, investments, college planning, real estate, giving, and so much more. It helps make one more aware of how to be a better steward of the gifts that God gives to us. Maybe the idol is image. In the age of Facebook and Instagram, we can be obsessed with projecting the perfect image. The perfect life, the perfect relationship, the perfect kids, perfect friendships. You just have to choose your filter, and in one click of the button, your life can look like everybody else's dreams. But the Christian faith is about the joy found in God, more than ourselves or the things of this world. And amongst all the pictures of ourselves and all the great things in our life, are there pictures of the church or anything that would speak to the world about the faith that we have in God? Idolatry, we find, is a very serious offense, which is not ignored by God. I wonder if in our impatience that we've bowed to more tangible, accessible, shinier gods rather than relying on the one who brought us out of the power of sin. Perhaps maybe it would have helped if Aaron had encouraged the people to remember how far they had come out of slavery through the waters with the manna. Sometimes we have to remember the times of gracious mercy, the love, the peace, the joy, and let that carry us through the waiting instead of searching for an idol, something that gives temporary comfort. Maybe each night before we go to bed, maybe we should take a moment to consider where we've witnessed something beautiful during the day, some small act of kindness that caught our attention, some appreciative word that meant so much to us, and give thanks. Because we have to ground ourselves in the little things to get through the big things in the wilderness. Maybe on this day, we should once again pray the psalmist prayer as our very own. Create in us clean hearts, O God. Put a new and right spirit in each one of us. Often I read the Bible, I pause, I think, I wonder, I pray, and then I close it, unsure of the answers to my questions. And I'm left with waiting to hear God's voice. I believe a big part of our faith is waiting. What we do while we wait reveals what kind of faith that we have. God's people have been through a number of disorienting ordeals. They had also seen evidence of God like few people in history have ever had. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was in control, that God had heard their prayers, and that God loved them. They knew it, but it just wasn't enough. I find that I often can't help but try to form an idol, to go back to nostalgia when I find myself in this place. It's easier to return to the past. It's easy to judge the Israelites in the wilderness. In the midst of striving to make meaning for ourselves, do we truly keep God the focus in our life? We, like the Israelites, we want to dictate the terms of our relationship. Fed up with waiting, the faithful people of God, they broke the very first two rules that God gave. You shall have no other gods. And you shall not make idols for yourself. What we do, how we spend our waiting time, has an impact on the life that we have with God. Sometimes in our walk, we do have to wait. The period of waiting is an opportunity to worship. It's to pray. It's to grow in God's grace. When we take that opportunity, I believe that we are ready for whatever God has next. Even as we wait, God sees. God loves. God plans grand things for each one of us, far beyond all that we could ever ask or imagine. We put God first in our lives when we do this. We're not the first people to wander in the wilderness of this world. We're not the first people to make idols, to ease pain, to ease fear, to soothe the longing. We're not the first, and we certainly won't be the last. The story that we read in this story is that God does indeed continue to pursue us in the wilderness of our own making. Despite the idols we make, despite the distance that we always try to seem to create with God, God still pursues us until we take our final breath. So let us pray. Gracious God, there's so much waiting in this life. We wait in line. We wait for others. We wait for financial security. We wait for doctor's reports. Sometimes we even feel like we have to wait for love. We have to wait for pain to go away. Sometimes the waiting erodes our joy and fills us with dread. God, give us the grace to refrain from rushing ahead and making idols for ourselves. Give us the grace to refrain from rushing ahead, to bring waiting to an end. Oh God, instead, let us find joy in the waiting itself. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's children said, amen.